Good evening, church. How are you all doing? I can't see your smiling faces, so you've got to kind of sing with me and respond to me, or else I don't know whether you're awake or with me or not. I see thumbs up. That will work as well. How's everyone doing today? Everyone staying cool? Aren't you glad to be in church where we are blessed with great air conditioning? As we come into worship, I would like us to take just a moment to quieten our hearts, to take whatever week we've had and to lay it at the foot of the cross. I don't know about you, but my past few weeks have been busy and hectic and stressful. I've got a major thing that I need to submit at work by next week, and it has been taking a lot of my nights. Obviously, we are living through probably one of the biggest pandemics of our time. Add to that, you know, the threat of war in the world, and now Woolies is not stocking up my usual food anymore. Things all around us seem to be falling apart. And if we focus in on that, and we look at that, and we stare at that, and that becomes our world, it can be very depressing, disheartening. And what does the Bible say? It says that these trials, it grows in us perseverance. Perseverance grows in us character. And character grows in us hope. Not just hoping that the economy will get better, not just hope that we'll get on the other side of this pandemic, but hope in Jesus Christ. Hope for eternity. The hope that we have a God who has saved us and has rescued us and who loves us. So if you've come from a place the past week of hopelessness, of tiredness, of weariness, can I ask you just for a moment to take that and lay it at the foot of the cross, to offer that to God as part of your worship, as part of your sacrifice of praise. And let's now cast our attention, cast our gaze toward the cross. And let's put our hope in our resurrected Savior. Can I invite you to stand as we sing?
His name is Jesus. Oh. my hope complete. Now home in glory, your face I'll see. My pain no more, my fear will cease. I bow my life, I fix my eyes on Christ my King.
Let's sing that again. I bow.
I bow my life, I fix my eyes on Christ. His name is Jesus, my Savior's cross has set the sinner free. Hope has a name. His name is Jesus. Oh, Christ be praised. I have victory.
Hope has a name.
Hope has a name.
Church, what can wash?
Who, what can wash away my sin? There's nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's nothing but the blood of Jesus. most. Who I will boast in Christ alone. His righteousness and not my own. Yes, I will cling to Christ my hope. His mercy reigns now and forever.
I will boast.
Yes, I will boast in Christ alone. His righteousness.
We've come now to a time of communion, and I'd like to share a Bible verse with you. It should be on the screen behind me. As Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you." The Apostle Paul is in prison. Felix is the Roman governor who has the power to release Paul or the power to keep Paul in prison. And yet it's Felix who is afraid. He's afraid of Paul the prisoner. Why? Well, Paul speaks about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. It's not recorded what else he says about that in this conversation, but of course we know what he says elsewhere. We know what he would have said to Felix. He would have said to Felix, God has a standard of righteousness that he demands everyone to keep, and there is a time of judgment to come when everything will be revealed. And he would have said, the good news, Felix, is that God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to pay for our sins and to give us his righteousness. Now, the historians tell us that Felix was a murdering tyrant and he was an adulterer. His wife, he persuaded to leave her husband to marry him. So these words of Paul would have hit a nerve. And it appears that Felix was afraid because he realized at that moment that he would face God for his actions at some time in the future. But what do you think about Felix's response? Felix could have said to Paul, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner, how can I be forgiven? But what does he do? He sends Paul away and says, I'll speak to you when I feel like it. But if you read through the book of Acts, he never does. He never brings Paul back, and he never believes in Jesus. And he misses out on salvation. But what I want us to reflect on this evening, church, is don't be like Felix. Our response and communion gives us an opportunity for that response. Our response needs to be, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner, I need salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be like Felix. Salvation is in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone. We do not need to fear because we know our sins are forgiven. God knows our moral failures, but He loves us nonetheless, and He invites us this evening to take of the bread, to take of the cup, and to have our consciences cleaned. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ that wipes the slate clean, that not only forgives our sins, but gives us His righteousness so that we can have a right standing with You. We thank You. And Lord, we admit right now we are sinners, we are sorry, and we need the forgiveness of Jesus, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So if that's you this evening, you're a Christian, and you would like forgiveness from the Lord Jesus, the cup and the bread are for you. If you haven't yet made that decision, please stay seated. No one's going to think anything less of you. But please, if you would like to know more, please come and see me afterwards. I'll ask the first few rows to jump up, come and take, and hold on to the bread and the cup, and we'll take it in a few moments together. God knows my moral failures. He knows your moral failures. But through Christ's body, we are forgiven. There is a judgment to come, but because of Christ's blood, we have nothing to fear. Our sins are washed away. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Please stand with us as we sing our next song. Father, we praise your name, the name of Jesus, because it's in that name that we have hope, we have life, we have forgiveness. We thank you, O God, that we are your children, called by your name. We thank you that we can call you our Heavenly Father. And we pray to you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Before you take your seat, why don't you turn to someone next to you and give them a wave?
Hey.
Welcome them as well.
We are at the first weekend of the month, which you now know, you should be aware of what that means. It means Scripture at Subi. So you're going to have a brand new Subi Scripture verse. And you may think, well, wasn't it the same one as last month? But last month was John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But what's interesting is a lot of us have memorized John 3, 16, but there's a verse that comes after it, which is what? Verse 17, yes. So that's on your card. And so why don't we look at that for just a moment, because let's think about this. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. The fact is, God could have looked at our world that was in rebellion against him and sent Jesus Christ, the judge, to condemn every one of us. And he would be right in that. But notice the blessing of the gospel. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We'll talk about how that salvation happens as we continue on with Scripture at Subi, because we recognize how are we saved. It's not a general salvation. It's for all who have put their faith and trust in Christ Jesus alone. So let's look at the last three. So now we've introduced this month. Let's go back to December, because it has something to do with why Jesus came into the world, and we're going to see this put together. So notice, let's do it together. You ready? Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That's the mission of Jesus, to save his people from their sins. Let's go to next month, January. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then today, this month, John chapter 3, verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Here's what we know. This is good news. We have a saving God, a God who saw us in our mercy, in his mercy, and in our need, and sent Jesus Christ into the world. So we're going to be working on John chapter 3, verse 17 for this month. Let's memorize it. Meditate on God's love. Meditate on his forgiveness. Meditate on his grace, and we'll know the word of God together. So we always keep our children in for this time, but at this time, the children are free to go to their Subi primary classes, and we'll have our announcements.
Okay, welcome to Subi Church. My name is Wayne Luce, one of the elders here at Subi. Special welcome to new people. Hopefully someone will say hi to you, otherwise others will be looking out for you as well. People will say hi to you in the foyer as well. One way for you to tell us you are here, all of us, is to fill in a Connect card. You can do that electronically. Many of you know how to do that. Plus, there's physical pieces of paper on some of the chairs around you. So please do fill one of those in. Helps us know that you're here, that we know you're here, and then how we can pray for you and or support you. We also have an opportunity now for offering. Many of you are doing that online as well these days, and that's a good thing. Encourage you to do that. But you can also give it physically as well, and there are envelopes, and there's a box for you to put your offering in near the auditorium doors. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be in your family. We thank you that we can be here at this time. We thank you that we have celebrated already your gift to us in Jesus. We thank you for the many blessings that we have, whether they be physical or spiritual. And we thank you for those things. And now as we give in many different ways to your ministry, we pray, Father, that you would bless this money. We pray for wisdom for those who use it. We pray for blessing for those who receive it. We pray that you might multiply the impact in people's lives. We pray for those people now. We pray that you would use it to help people to hear the good news, the gospel that we just said in verses and we know in our hearts. We pray for this money in Jesus' name. Amen. So some events for you to be involved in coming up. Nourish at Subi, starting on the 17th of Feb. And they're going to be working through for 5 nights, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Venue here is in the cafe. Nourish, we enjoy fellowship over a meal and then learn from God's words together. They're having a look at the incarnation, the life, the death, resurrection of Christ our Lord and King of Kings. So Pastor Chin and Jack Gangemi are going to be teaching that series. So use your Connect card to tell us you'd like to attend. There's also an hour of prayer coming up on the 16th of Feb. It's quite a week, I've just worked out. It's quite a week. 16th of Feb, hour of prayer, 7 to 8 p.m. You can come in person to the church cafe as well, but you also can come in via Zoom, which is a great way for some of our missionaries overseas to come and join us. And also, you may like to do it that way too. Let us know if you would like to be on the mailing list for that via your Connect card. And then you notice they're going in backwards order. Awana's starting on the 15th of Feb. So Tuesdays during the school term, 5:30 to 7 p.m. Awana is our midweek program for kids aged 3 to year 6, playing games, hearing and memorizing God's word together, and are discipled by dedicated volunteers. So registrations are open. And they're also quite keen for some volunteers to join them as well. Let us know on the Connect card if you'd like to register as a volunteer or you have a child that would like to come.
Bible reading for this weekend is Mark 4, verse 35 to 39. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm.
Thank you, Kendrick. A very famous story in the Gospel, Jesus calming the storms on the Sea of Galilee. From the Gospel of Mark, we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew, so it'll be a little bit different, but I want you to think about that storm on the sea, and then we're going to relate it to our lives today. Before we look at the Word of God, I do want to give your attention. We brought out, and you may know that every month we do a Subi monthly news. I just had, this is printed out, just the first page. One of the things I wanted to be aware of is if you aren't on that mailing list, please get yourself on the mailing list because it does give you some updates, some quick updates, some links and so forth. Plus, what I try to do is just give a brief look at where we are right now and where we're going this month or in the future. And we had our leadership retreat this weekend. And one of the things I want you to be aware of is I met with the men and women who are part of our staff, our elder board, our diaconate, we have a great group of leaders. But one of the things we've talked about is we're going to navigate some difficult times. And it was referred to by the chairman of our elder board. And I just want to show you the article that I wrote, since not all of you probably read it. By the way, mine goes to junk mail for some reason. So here's what I want you to think about, though. Here we are in changing times, and we knew that today, this weekend, we were supposed to be into a whole new phase within WA. While that's been pushed out, and we know the word is indefinite, the fact is there will be a time set. The other thing we know is COVID is here, and we have to deal with it as a church. And how do we deal with it? And it has to be different than the rest of the world, or else we're not the church. We're not salt and light. We're not distinctive. We've got to be followers of Jesus Christ no matter what we do. So here's what I wrote, living in changing times. Quote, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So that you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. John 13, verses 34 and 35, the words of our Lord. My thoughts are this. These are changing times. We live with changing news, changing rules, changing standards. But the Christian standard given by Jesus remains unchanged. Love one another. We are now accustomed to receiving mixed messages from our politicians and leaders, but Jesus' message is perfectly clear. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. COVID continues to change our world, but it cannot change our approach to life and love. We love one another. Sometimes this is expressed through patience with one another. Other times this is expressed through our protection of one another. Discipleship at SUBI Church means loving one another and changing in difficult times. COVID does not mean that we love one another less. Nor do we ever allow it to cause division. It gives us opportunities to love one another more. By this, they will know that you are my followers, that you love one another. So we're going to go through this time together. Again, I cannot tell you what's ahead or what dates or anything like that. I just know we're in changing times. But we will focus on Christ, and we will do it distinctively, different from other people, because we're followers of Christ. With that said, I also want to make another statement that I spoke with the chairman of our elder board and asked whether he felt like I should make it. And many of you know I've been trying to get to the U.S. for quite a while because I have aged parents, and in particular, my mother's not doing well. And I do have a ticket to leave and, you know, of course, agreed to quarantine on return. So I have a return ticket, by the way. So I will not be here in future weeks for a number of weeks. Part of it will be in America, and then part of it will be in quarantine. My wife is going to stay behind. I am planning on coming back. So please don't think I've made a big move. I'm just going to see my parents. But having said that, we stay together and we focus on God's word. So this will be my last message on Jesus above all until I return. But we'll continue on with this series. It's a series I want to complete. I think it's an important message for our day. And you'll find even our passage today is an important message. So I do want to say thank you for those who have been in prayer for people like me who have been separated from loved ones, and it has been a difficult time in many ways. And I'm thankful that the Lord has watched over my parents, my children in America, my grandchildren there, and I'm looking forward to being able to spend a few days with them. What I'm going to ask you to do now is just go to the Lord in prayer and bring whatever concerns, whatever is on your heart right now, but believe in the love of God for you. Within that spirit, believe that He hears your prayers and cares. Father, we are in awe of you. How great you are, how much you love us. We've heard the gospel, many of us, since we were children, and yet it never gets old. That God loved us so much that he sent Christ into the world. And the Holy One of God did not come to us to condemn us for our rebellion and our sin, but to save us. And Lord Jesus, for those of us who are followers of yours, we have embraced that truth, that gospel. For any who do not know that hope, I pray that even now you would be drawing them to yourself, that you would open their eyes to your love, to the offer of forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. For those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, we long to be with you. We long to see you face to face. Lord, we live in difficult days, and you know that. We don't always know how to approach them, but what we know is that you are with us. We have been called to live in love. And so, Lord, as we go through changing times, as we interact with people at our work, in our community, in classrooms, in church, I pray that they would see Jesus Christ in and through us. And we pray that we would bring glory to you. We pray these things in Christ's name. So the title is, we're dealing with Jesus above all, and we've seen Jesus above diseases, the leper, the centurion's servant, even Peter's mother-in-law. We've seen Jesus also as he calls his disciples and he says to follow him. But now we're going to see Jesus as he is Lord even in creation. So I'm going to call it the perfect storm. And it was called the perfect storm. It was a storm that took place in 1991 in October off of Nova Scotia in that area. So you'll see the storm there. This is an overhead image of the storm. But the reason why it was called the perfect storm is that there were three storm systems that actually combined, and they came together to one massive storm. And so it wasn't perfect because no one got hurt, no one died, people did die, but it was perfect, according to a meteorologist, because the three systems all came together into one big storm. There was a book and a movie that was put out. I saw the movie, I read the book. It was about particularly six men on the Andrea Gale, and in the end, they all die. We don't know exactly how, but they died in the storm because there was very little things that were found, even of the shipwreck. But they all died. It wasn't perfect because all's well that ends well. It was perfect just because a meteorologist would say, wow, what a perfect storm. Well, let's talk about a storm. Let's define it. It's a disturbance in the atmosphere attended by wind, rain, snow, hail, or thunder and lightning, often causing inconvenience, anxiety, fear, possible injury, or death. In other words, storms threaten life and property. Let's think about storms in our lives, and we can broaden that thought of a storm. A disturbance in our lives, not in the atmosphere, but in our lives. It causes inconvenience, anxiety, fear, pain. For most of us, we can point to plenty of storms in our lives, those times that cause us anxiety, fear, pain. What we have to do is first accept that storms come. We are followers of Jesus Christ, but storms still come into our lives. They are outside our control. That's the whole idea of a storm. It's not something I created. It comes to me, but not by me. The key is this. What is our response? How will we respond? It's pretty natural to respond with fear. But what is supernatural is when we respond with faith. And that's what I want to deal with right now. So if you're thinking about in your own life, okay, what storm am I facing? What issue is there that's massive? I'm not in control of it. It's big. I'm not in control of it. All of us can say, well, COVID is one of those things. And by the way, quite frankly, the politicians are not in control. The doctors are not in control. They are not in control. You're not in control. How do we respond? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 23. Matthew 8. I'm going to ask that you stand, and we're going to read again Matthew's rendition, his telling of this same story, Jesus calms the storm. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, so the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. For us, we can answer that question. He is Jesus the Lord, and he is Jesus above all. You may be seated. So 3 points. First, storms come even when we follow Jesus. The first thing we see is his disciples followed him. They followed him into the boat, and that's going to lead them into a storm. In verse 19, earlier on, remember, we looked at last week, there was a disciple of Jesus who said, I'll follow you anywhere. In verse 22, he says to another disciple, follow me. And now in verse 23, we have the disciples following him. Isn't that great? Except that there is a storm coming. So let's talk about the Sea of Galilee. We call it sometimes the sea. That's what the Jews would call it a sea. We would call it a lake. But if you'll notice, it's on there on the screen. It is about 21 kilometers long, 13 kilometers wide at its widest point. In Greek, it's Gennesaret, and the pronunciation comes from the Hebrew word for harp or lyre. So if you look at the screen, it can look like an old-fashioned harp or musical instrument, a lyre. So it's a harp-shaped lake. Now, the other thing that you need to know is about 212 meters below sea level, and it's surrounded by mountains. So everything is down there. It sits down, and there's often mountains with these gorges and deep ravines. And what can happen is when there is a windstorm, the wind would blow in through these ravines, and it would be, and you can recreate the Sea of Galilee in your own home, it would be like taking a teacup and taking a straw and blowing in at that tea and seeing the disturbance that you can make on the surface. And now we've got the rain and the wind and this disturbance of the water. And the disciples are scared to death. Notice the text. It says, suddenly a furious storm. Matthew uses the word seismos, earthquake, literally. So the waves swept over the boat. Now, again, for us, we may think, well, if you're in a modern boat, yeah, they're built for waves and so forth, and you can try to figure things out. But in the Sea of Galilee, in that century, first century, we actually have a boat that people call the Jesus boat, but it's a first century boat that would be very similar to the one that the disciples and Jesus are in. So I'm going to show you an image of that boat. And they did find this. It's about 8 meters long, 2 meters wide. What you'll notice is it's very shallow. They had to put ballast on there so the thing wouldn't tip over in normal water, normal waves. But here are furious waves that are washing over the boat. So they're just washing over this boat, and the disciples are recognizing that's what's going on. And some of them are experienced fishermen, and they're basically, no, this is a widow maker. We're going to die. You don't survive storms like this in a boat like this. You just don't survive that. And so that's the story. Now, what we need to think about is this. So this boat, by the way, can hold about 15 men. They're going to be pretty tight, and it's going to be pretty easy to bring down in a storm. What I want you to think about now is this. What we often do in these Bible stories, I want you to think, where are you in the story? I mean, we read it. Yeah, I know we read it. But where are you in the story? Well, I'm a follower of Jesus as well. And sometimes, again, we're just kind of observers of a distant story. And there's the Sea of Galilee and the ancient history and ancient boat. And there's Jesus and the disciples on the boat. But where are you in the story? And I think we need to be more than observers. And we don't get to be Jesus, by the way. And you're not the boat. You're one of the followers of Jesus. How would you respond in that situation? Would you do any better than the disciples who were there? These disciples saw Jesus above all, Jesus above the diseases, Jesus who can tell people, follow me, Jesus who gives the Sermon on the Mount. How are you going to respond to him? Into the storm. Here's what we know. If we are in that boat, the storm is greater than you are. Your training, your experience, your control. One of the things we need to recognize is this. Sometimes it's in these storms that there will be the best time for us to be educated, to understand what does it mean to be a person of faith? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Sometimes storms are essential for our spiritual development. Sometimes we wonder, why is God putting me through this? He's God, He's Jesus, He's Lord of all. Why am I facing these trials, these storms? Look over at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I just want to read the first 5 verses. The Apostle Paul says this. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So even think about a storm. We have peace with God because of Christ, even in the midst of a storm. Through whom we have attained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. So we've got this grace, and we've got this hope, and this standing with God. Not only so, but we also glory in our, and notice the word, sufferings. Because we know that sufferings produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. What's the Apostle Paul trying to say? Yes, sometimes we do go through these times where he specifically says suffering. And whether that's a storm or some other type of suffering, we suffer. But when we go through those times of suffering, what's that pointing us to? Well, it helps us with our perseverance. And perseverance helps us with character. And character helps us to hope. And our hope is in the Lord. What's it doing? It's developing our spiritual lives. God is still on his throne. He still reigns. My suffering, my storms, often what God uses to help me grow in hope and perseverance. This is something that we just need to be aware of. And one of the things that we want to do as a disciple-making church is teach our young people. Life is not always easy. Sometimes there are storms out there. that how do we face them? We face them with Jesus. We face them with God. Even for parents, grandparents, we want to disciple our children. And we teach them the ways of our faith. And we don't neglect the storms because they're real. The point is this, storms come even when we follow Jesus. Here's the second point. Fear comes with little faith in Jesus. So I'm going to begin in the middle of, towards the end of verse 24. But Jesus was sleeping. So there's a storm, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? So let's think about that. But Jesus was sleeping. It's kind of interesting. Remember last week we looked at that passage where one man says, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says, foxes have their dens, birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And it's right on cue, where is Jesus laying his head? He's laying his head on a ballast in the boat. That's what he's sleeping. That's where he lays his head. He's sleeping in the boat. One of the things we're aware of is we're clearly aware of his humanity. He's tired. He's sleepy. That's why he's sleepy. He's a man. Mark's gospel says he was asleep on a cushion. The disciples wake him. Save us. We're going to drown. They're being totally honest. Lord, save us. We're going to drown. I want to talk about biblical faith for just a moment and some aspects from this passage of biblical faith. Biblical faith, by the way, is not denial. We don't say when there's a storm, it doesn't exist. It'll blow over. It's not wishful thinking. That's not what biblical faith is. So when people say, oh, you Christians, you just don't want to, you know, believe the things of the world, the hardships, the trials of this world. Yeah, we believe them. They're real. It's not denial. Biblical faith is not fear either. Because fear focuses on the storm. And that's what the disciples were doing. They weren't exercising what I'm calling biblical faith because the Lord's going to rebuke their faith. Oh, you have little faith. Biblical faith, finally, is trust in Jesus above all. Here's what we need to think about as we are with the disciples in that storm, in that boat. Put yourself there. Jesus is near. Jesus is with us. Jesus is on the boat. Jesus is in the storm. And Jesus is bigger than the storm. So what we get to think about is this. Whatever storm we are facing right now, my Lord Jesus Christ is bigger. It's interesting. The problem to Jesus doesn't seem to be the storm, does it? The storm doesn't get a reaction, so to speak. What gets a reaction is what? Their little faith. That's what he addresses in this passage. That seems to be the real problem to Jesus. It's not the storm. It's the fact that you have, and you are my followers, little faith. The problem is that they so easily switch their attention from Jesus above all to the storm is going to kill us. Little faith is not so much the size of the faith. Sometimes Jesus even speaks about a mustard seed type faith. But little faith is that faith that gets overwhelmed so easily. Their storms are big, but Jesus appears little in those times. He's scolding them because they have an excessive fear of the storm. Well, let's face it, fear is natural in those type of situations. Storms are real. They're big. They're over, bigger than us. And it's very natural to have fear. The question is your faith bigger than your fear? In the disciples' case, they basically said, we're going to die. The waves are washing over the boat. It's a storm. They know their abilities. They know where they are in the lake. They're not going to get to shore. They're going to die. What do we need to do? When we recognize that we're in a storm, we need to apply the thought, Jesus above all. He is above all. We recognize, as we've said, we're in this COVID storm. It's bigger than us. It's bigger than the world around us. There's no government that is dealing with it extremely well. In fact, no one says we've got it all solved and figured out. It's bigger than them. It's bigger than us. But here's the very reality, and this is what we need to recognize. COVID doesn't get to speak to my life and say life or death. It will never get to say those words because Jesus is above all. Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and he is the only one that gets to speak to my life ever. Just think about it. What storm ever gets to speak above Jesus? Does cancer get to have the final say in a believer's life? No way. Jesus speaks the final words. Jesus above all. Jesus doesn't dialogue with COVID-19. He is above storm. We live in stormy days. We don't live in fear. Fear comes with little faith in Jesus. Here's the third point. Faith comes when we look to Jesus the Lord. Look again at verses 26 and 27. He speaks to the disciples, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." It's interesting, if you think about it, there's no negotiation that goes on with the storm, right? He doesn't dialogue with the wind and the waves. He just speaks into that situation. No plea bargaining. He just rebukes the winds and the waves. And they obey. Now, the wind and the waves, of course, they have no mouth to speak out. They have no ears to hear. And yet, they hear the voice of their Creator, and they obey. If Jesus can speak to the wind and the waves, and they obey, what is it that can't? The question for us is this. If the winds and the bay and the waves recognize Jesus' voice as Lord, why don't we? Jesus will say, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" When we hear his voice, when he speaks, we need to obey. I want to talk about the storm because the early Christian writers looked at this passage and said, in some sense, that boat in the storm is kind of like the church, the early church. And so I'm going to show you a pretty famous painting. It's been stolen, but by Rembrandt. And what we have is a storm raging around the disciples, and Jesus is there in the boat. And some people would say that's an image of the church. The church is in the world, and sometimes the world tries to overwhelm the church, and yet Jesus is with us. And no matter what happens around us, Jesus is with us. Today, it's easy to apply to our contemporary situation. The storms around the church can overwhelm us. We have challenges, moral challenges, life challenges. But Jesus is with us. One of the things I've shared recently with a number of people is an article from Christianity Today. I'm just going to show you the the headline, and it goes like this: pastors aren't all right. 38% consider leaving the ministry. This is a Barna poll in the U.S. 38% of the full-time ministers in America are seriously considering leaving the ministry. There's storms going on. There are crises that are going on. What we've got to say and what we've got to remember is Jesus is with us. One of the things I want to do as I plan my future is try to say, how can I help in that situation, shepherd, help, assist pastors who are going through difficult times? They need care. The problem is, if they all leave, 38% of the pastors leave, and we don't even know the statistic in Australia, there's going to be a huge void. If they stay, we've still got an issue because we've got a whole bunch of walking wounded who are pastoring people. How do we deal with the issues of our day? Here's what we need to remember. If the church is that boat in the storm, Jesus is with us. And Jesus is above all. We can fear the storm will swamp the boat, but it won't, because Jesus is with us. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just want to highlight a few verses. But we have, verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed, the disciples are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. This is who we are. We're the Church of Jesus Christ. There may be storms, but Jesus is with us. Let me conclude with this thought, the perfect storm. So, this passage is what I'm calling the perfect storm. It's the perfect storm because no one ultimately gets hurt. Jesus ultimately instructs his disciples in faith. And Jesus reminds us that he is Jesus above all. He's Jesus above the disease, Jesus above even creation. The question we need to look at is this: this issue of little faith, quality of our faith. Many of us here would say, yeah, I have faith, but Jesus is going to challenge the quality of our faith. Let me just say, sometimes we're going to talk about you've got to have faith, you've got to have faith. There was a great theologian who was teaching, he was lecturing, J.I. Packer, Regent College, and one of his students raised his hand because they were talking about faith, and the student raised his hand and he said, Dr. Packer, I have to be honest with you, sometimes when I think about my faith, it's more like tissue paper. Now, he didn't hold up a piece of tissue paper, but I know the illustration. So here's a tissue paper, and he says, sometimes I feel like my faith is like tissue paper. It's thin. I can see through it, and it can be easily pierced. How can I grow my faith? And Packer said this: the way you grow your faith is not by constantly taking it out and examining your faith, any more than the way you grow a house plant is to constantly take that house plant out and examine the roots. It doesn't help. What you do is you focus on the object of your faith. What is Jesus basically doing in this passage? He's getting the disciples to focus on the object of their faith. The storm is not greater than Jesus. And if Jesus is above all and our focus is on Jesus, then that strengthens our faith in the midst of the storm, and no storm overwhelms us because we're in awe of this one, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's what we need to carry with us through life. We need to grow our faith, and we're not going to grow our faith by looking at how weak our faith is. We're going to grow it by looking at how great our Lord is. So here's what I want you to do right now. I want you to think about it. What storm am I facing? And it may not be for you. It may be for one that you love. you care about, but they are facing. Physical, financial, health, you name it. Bring it to the Lord. Claim the promises of God that Jesus is greater than all storms. And trust in Him. Lean not on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord. Pray with me. Father, right now, we just want to take this moment to bring these concerns to you. These things are bigger than we are. We know that. And we are not claiming that we are able to handle them on our own. But Lord Jesus, right now, we need you. We pray like the disciples, Lord, save us. But now we're not going to focus our attention upon the storm, but we're going to focus our attention upon you. Save us because you are Lord of all. Help us because you are Lord of all. Lord Jesus, we thank you that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not even death itself. Because Jesus, you have the final say over those who are in Christ Jesus. And your words are words of life, and hope, and love. And right now we want to cling to those words and cling to Christ our Savior. We pray this in Christ's name.
Can I invite you to stand as we sing our final song?
Oceans rise and thunder.
Think about the trials, the storms, the challenges in our lives. It just brings us to our knees. So what I want to say is we have our pastors, David and Chin, are up here. And the other thing is just pray with the person next to you and just say, can we pray for this need? Trust the Lord that He is with us and He will never leave us or forsake us. Let me pray with you, and then we'll go. Feel free to linger and just to pray with people around you. But let's be people of prayer. Father, we do thank you that Jesus Christ knows. And not only does He know it, He's with us, and He won't leave us. And so, Lord, we commit these things to you. These hard things, these things that are way beyond our control, we bring them to the throne of grace. And we trust in you, and we thank you that you are with us. Lord, I pray your blessing upon these dear people. In Christ's name, amen. Lord bless you. Go in peace.